Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
To the angels of the church, God's yes, the faithful and accurate witness, the first of God's creation. Let me see verse 15. He said, I know you inside and out, and find little to my liking. This was Jesus speaking to the church of Laodicea, just like the Nigerian church now. He said, I know you inside and out, and find little to my liking. He said, you are not cold, you are not hot. Far better, it is better to either be cold or hot. Verse 16. Jesus spoke to the church. He said, you are stale. You are stagnant. You make me want to vomit. That's Jesus speaking to a particular church. It could be Harvest World Assembly. So the title of this message is The Stale and Stagnant Christian. Now, for Jesus to send such a strong message to that church, he knows them in and out. You can't pretend to God. The reason why probably you are in, let's say, ushering department, or maybe the reason why you joined choir. You know, choir used to have beautiful damsels. Beautiful. So the reason why we will want to join choir those days is because we want to have some fellowship. You want somebody to always call your name. Brother John, you are not doing it well now. You now say, okay, teach me how to do it. So Jesus is saying, I know the intent of your heart. It could have been easy for me to join the choir then, back then, when I got saved, because the guy that led me to Christ was a choir member. Till now, Moses Bliss just released him. So I'm not surprised. So I would have just swing into the choir. But for me, I will sleep. All those are all night rehearsal. I will sleep. So I knew it was not my thing. So I didn't go for it. So, but Jesus is saying, I know you in and out. The reason why you are doing what you are doing for me, the reason why you are committed in this particular service, there must be an ulterior motive. There must be something in your heart. Oh, I want to come to church today. Let them know that I am in church. Or I want to be in this particular team. Let them know that, oh, I have what it takes to give. If you see scriptures in Psalm 139 and verse 2, Jesus said, the Bible says, I know your thoughts are far off. Even before you think of thinking about it, Jesus knows. He said, I know your thoughts are far off. I know your down sitting and your uprising. Jesus is saying in that Revelation chapter 3, he said, I know your works. I know you inside and out. You could pretend to anyone, but you can't pretend to me. I know you. Whatever we do for the Lord, like I said, he looks at the intent of our heart. The subject of a heart is a very delicate one. Jesus understands the configuration of our heart. That's why David, when he realizes his mistake anytime, he cried out in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. He says, search me, O God. Know my heart. He said, try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Please lead me in the way that is right. I often say, as a pastor, wickedness can be in your heart, you will not know. Oh, somebody did something. You say, kill him, kill him, kill him. Make him die. A pastor or a child of God or a believer. Withdraw all the benefit from me without mercy. So David was somebody that was seen in scripture to always do a form of heart check exercise. Heart check exercise. He will go back to God and say, God, see me, see me, see me, see me. He will ask God to open his heart and begin to do some surgical operations. Search me, search me, search me. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. The reason why some people will give a lady a lift than a guy. You see people in third mainland, you prefer a lady. There must be something. There must be something. That's what Jesus is. I'm trying to just help us trickle it down. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. It has happened to me. I have this gift of training people, like tutorials, you know, giving people tutorials. And when we were in NYSC, I saw one damsel. She was in family house, but she was not a copper. How does that add up? So it got to, she was asking me for little assistance. I was giving her. So one day, that's why sometimes it's not good to listen to some Sambalak and Tobias. One brother told me, why is this girl always disturbing you? No, free mind. Why is this girl always asking you for this? Is she not being paid alawi? And I took it up. And when she asked me one day, I said, what's up? What's of your allowance? Because we're just paid allowance that day. I said, what of yours? She didn't want to talk. So I left her. In counseling, when you are trying to talk to somebody and the person is bottling up that pent-up emotion, leave that person for that day. You can create another meeting or allow the person to come back to you. So I allowed her. She came back to me and started explaining. She's not a copper. And what are you doing in the family house? She explained everything to me. I said, okay. I said, we are going to University of UNISIC. We went there the next day. I paid her pre-degree form and everything. When I was doing all of that, the devil was now saying, she may be the one. So I told my prayer coordinator, just say, forget it. Immediately that guy just told me, forget it. And that was how I forgot it. So I would have missed it in life if I did not probably have somebody that had that understanding to guide me. Praise the Lord. So sometimes we do some things, it is by our own emotions. So Jesus might be looking at me and say, oh, the reason why you are carrying this lady up and down is because of the hidden thing in your heart. He said, I know your works. Hallelujah. That's just one of the examples. I have enough personal, but because of time, and I know we all have such, you know, dealings in our life as well. Praise the Lord. Now, in that scripture, Jesus was speaking about, you know, being hot or being cold. He was emphatically saying, you are not even hot and you are not even cold. Now, I would like us to quickly, you know, just... let me just take us through what I did, a short study I did about, you know, the Laodicean church. Now, in that ancient time, that city of, there was a city close to Laodicea, that is the Hierapolis. That city boasted of hot springs and mineral-rich water. That is to say, the water that they could produce as a city was hot spring. And it was rich in minerals. And it was therapeutic in nature. Therapeutic means healing without the use of drugs or medicine. So the water that city, Hierapolis, that was close to Laodicea, the water that city produced was hot spring and mineral-rich water. And it was therapeutic in nature on its own. So people can, you know, take that water and just, after a stressful day, you just take a warm bath and you just get some form of healing. Naturally, we know that hot water cleanses and relaxes us. Now, the other city that was close to that city was Colossae. That's Colossians, from where you get Colossians. That's Colossae. That city had cold and refreshing mountain spring water. But the water in Laodicea was reported to be dirty and lukewarm. It was stale and stagnant. So when Jesus was telling them that you are stale, you are stagnant, I feel like spitting you out of my mouth. That, you see that in verse 17. They understood what Jesus was talking about. Because Jesus was referring to them with what their natural habitat. Their water was stale, it was stagnant. And in verse 17, Jesus said, I feel like spitting you out of my mouth. In the city of Brass, which is a local government in Bayelsa State, and its environs, maybe the Nimbe, Basambri, and the rest. What the kind of water you have there is salt water. Salt water where you get some salt water fish and crayfish and all of that. Now, that salt water cannot be used for anything. Imagine a community that is an island. And water is, that community is surrounded by water. You can only go to that community by boat. And the only water in that community is salt water, except you dig deep and get. So they lack good water there. That's the point I'm going to. So that salt water is totally useless, because you can't use it to bathe, you can't use it to cook, you can't use it to wash your clothes. You can just fish. Maybe just go fishing. If you swim in that water for too long, sir, your eyes will be red. There was a day I went to swim. I didn't tell my aunties. When they saw my eyes, they said, "You have been to that water." I said, "How did they know?" So now I realize, if you stay in that water for too long, your eyes will become very red. So you see in verse 17 of that Revelation chapter 3, Jesus was speaking to that church. He said, "You are not hot. You are not cold. You are lukewarm. You are stale. You are stagnant. I feel like spitting you out." Hallelujah. He said, "I feel like spitting you out." Let's see verse 16. Can give me KJV verse 16. Okay? This message. It's okay. Stay there. Okay, good. He said, message said, "You are stale. You are stagnant. You make me want to vomit." Imagine yourself wanting to vomit because of somebody around you. He said, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. Get out of my sight." That's what Jesus is saying to a church, to a body of Christ. That's what Jesus is saying to a body of Christ. He's saying it to Harvest Word Assembly today too. So a lot of us have, thank God for the Bible reading for this year. A lot of us have left our first love. When you study the word, you do yourself favor. Because when you call on Jesus on that day when it matters, it will show up. Because you have an in-depth understanding of the word. I am bragging with my God. Because when that accident happened, I called on that name. I have seen accident that happened. People started calling on their God. Those that were Muslim even had to shift and say, "Call on the name of your God now." They couldn't call on that idol. But we have a living God. That when we call, he shows up. I'm telling you, I'm so confident that it was Jesus that stopped that vehicle that day. Because he could have entered the other road. It was a lone accident. I reported it as a lone accident. And it's better for us. It was Jesus, the master. You know, I spoke with a sister back then, a Deeper Life sister. My brother gave me the phone to speak with her some years back. And she, after the normal salutation, she asked me, "How is your spiritual life?" In my mind, nobody has ever asked me that question. Even my mentor, or the one that led me to Christ. She was not trying to mock. It was a normal salutation for her. She just said, "Bara, how are you? You are Joseph's elder brother. She didn't even say I learned to be a Christian. She knew. She said, "How is your spiritual life?" Oh my God. I think we need to start asking our friends. Some people might be going through a lot. You will not know. Some people might be dying silently. You will not know. And Jesus is ready to spit anyone out. Because he said in that same revelation, look down, trickle down, to verse 21. He said, "I stand at the door. I am knocking." Probably he's knocking today. "If you open the door, I will come in and sup with you, and you with me." So how is your spiritual life? What will you tell somebody about your spiritual life? Is it something that you want your own convert to emulate? Is it something you want your own convert? You want a soul today. Do you want that soul to live the kind of spiritual life you are living? It's high time we begin to ask ourselves those questions. How are you? How is everything? Don't be shy. If you are struggling, share with a brother. Let me talk about that being hot or cold. You know, let me just look at what I put down in my notes. What Jesus was referring to as being hot a Christian or being cold as a Christian. I know we have a common knowledge of if it's a hot Christian, fervent. Oh my God, Reka. Call down fire, call down all the tornado and all of that. Then if he's a cold Christian, that means he's just one brother. Hallelujah. No. What Jesus actually meant, being a hot Christian like hot water, you know, relaxes us, you know, brings in some therapeutic experiences. You know, imagine you just go out and you come back after a hot, under the hot sun, and you just come back and you are under the, you know, hot shower. You know how your body will feel. But being a cold Christian, Jesus was referring to that group of Christians that are ready to revitalize your mortal body through encouraging you with scriptures. There are some brothers, some people don't even need to see the pastors. They just want to see one quiet brother. Well, when that guy begins to dissect the scripture and encourage you, there's something he carries. It's not everybody that holds the mic that actually, some people seated here, they are dynamite. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. KJV is okay. Second Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I'm going to the direction of how Jesus is beginning to describe the cold Christian. You are neither hot or cold. You're not just really cold Christian. He said, who comforted us in all our tribulation? Go back to that. I want to draw something to your attention. Go back to the previous verse. Please, I want you to pay attention. I know we don't underline Bibles again. We have our iPad. If you have your Bible, please underline. This is for somebody. It said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So every comfort you need is in God. There is no form of comfort you need on this earth that you need to run to any man, whether your boss, whether the king. Every comfort you need in this life is in God and in his word. Take the next verse. The God of all comfort. Underline that. The next verse. He said, who comforted us in our tribulation? So some people don't want to even go through tribulation at all. As a Christian, you are running away from tribulation. You think the tribulation is for you. It's not for you. He said, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By what? By verse 3, the God of all comfort. By the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God. You go through a particular challenge and God comforts you. And God expects you to revitalize another brother tomorrow. And you are there. Somebody is going through some hard times. You don't even know what to do. You are a stale Christian. You are a lukewarm Christian. You are dull. You are stagnant. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. I met a lady that lost her husband, one of our customers. The man died. And I saw the children. What do I need? I don't need to talk too much. I just go with the comfort wherewith God has comforted me with for the past 27 years when I lost my dad. So you think tribulation happened to you is by chance. God permits it because he is bringing someone your way that we want to run mad with that same tribulation. But with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, we reach out to them by mercies. You think the trouble, it's not for you. When you see trouble, don't just die there. Raise up, pick up your bed and walk. Because tomorrow, God is bringing you to a generation that you will comfort. And that will need that comfort by his grace. A generation that we want to run mad. What did I tell that woman? And I will say this later. As a believer, no, people must know you are born again. Carry it on your head. They must know. Don't hide yourself. Don't hide yourself. After my neighbor tried and didn't succeed, she started calling me pastor. No, she started calling me pastor from that. Don't hide your identity. I will say this. I will reserve this for later. So that woman, I think she should be in her 30s. She has little children. I don't need to study the word that I'm going to see a widow that the husband died. No. I have this comfort in my belly. Because when my dad, sorry, I'm just trying to relate. Because when it happened, we were supposed to be shipped to the village. I've said this thing before. And to me, you know, when I step down this altar, I get promoted again. Because I am glorifying God through my own testimonies. We were supposed to be shipped to the village. That village I gave that analogy, that island, is my village. That island. Because you can't, once they ship you there, it's either they ship you out. There's no car that can go in and out. I've not taken my wife there. I don't know if she will agree to go to my father's place. Or she has been to my mom's place. So, but it's a wonderful place. It has oil, anyways. So, I went with the comfort where which God has comforted me. Because if my father was alive, I don't think I would not have achieved what I have achieved today. Maybe I wouldn't have been born again. Because there was no need to depend on the Almighty God. I would depend on my physical father. So if God sees that, okay, this guy, he knows your tomorrow. He said, I know the thoughts. I know your thoughts are far off. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and of evil. To give you an expected and a future hope. A future that you hope for. Amplified said, to give you a future that you hope for. So when I got to the house and I saw the children and I started talking to the woman and I was using the comfort where which God has comforted. I said, this is your children. They will go to school and they will become graduates. And I started quoting scriptures and I was speaking with so much authority because I am giving her the comfort wherewith I have been comforted of God. So if at that time I was crying, my daddy, no day again, is that what God wants for me and the generation after me? It got to a point we needed another widow that was into that business to come and talk to her. I knew that was not my line. I invited the widow that is doing the business that we are also supporting. I said, come and talk to this woman in this other aspect. Because we're trying to guide her to make a decision so that she will not cry to us tomorrow and say, hey, I can't pay this. I can't pay this. So we said, look, we think you need to take decision now. You can't manage this thing. Your husband is not around anymore. Why don't you do it this way? So we brought the other lady. The comfort at which she has been comforted of God. The other lady, now this is a real life demonstration to her. Because the other lady's child is in SS3 already. One is in SS3, the other one GS or SS1 and the other one. So we brought down and said, see this lady. Her children is already about to get into university, one in SS3. So most times when you go through some struggle, don't die there. If you die there, you are a stale Christian. You are a lukewarm Christian. Jesus is saying, I will spit you out of my mouth. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying we should wish for trials and tribulations and temptations to come to us. But when it comes, like Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. If scripture opens up what Job went through, Job could not sit down on a surface like this because of the balls that he had. He couldn't sit down on it. The Bible says that ashes was heaped for Job, that he had to alight on the ashes. The boy was so terrible that Job had to alight on those ashes. He couldn't sit down on the bare surface. For where? But in all of that, we still saw the devil came through. Or Sambalak and Tobias was the friend to the wife. You know what Sambalak and Tobias, they'll say, look, just curse God now. What are you? Are you still on this mountain? That's how some Christians will put it. And you have to beware of stale Christians around you. Cut off. If they're not ready to lose you and let you free, cut off from them. Any Christian that is not in to encourage you, run. I was chatting with a brother yesterday. I saw on his DP, Joy is coming early in the morning. And he's a Christian, born again. I said, I could do that. Because we are free with each other. I said, you are beginning to divert. He said, no, it's a normal song now. It's just to lift our spirits. I said, in my mind, I don't want to argue with him. I said, in my mind, there is nothing in the scripture again. To lift your spirits. That's how you start to stay Christian, lukewarm Christian. That is how you start. Joy is coming early in the morning. It's a good word. He started telling me that if you look at those days, some of our musicians, they told us the truth through their music. I said, yes, in my mind. I said, but what about the one that worship Mammon? and they are singing to you, and that is what you are taking. Yeah? And that is what you are taking. Somebody will come and sing, Iyo Gogo, Iyo Gogo, Iyo Gogo, and you will paint it with Christian format, and you will accept it. You are still Christian. You are still. You are lukewarm. May the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, these things come, it's a gradual process. It creeps in gradually. Nothing will happen. There's nothing there. Before you know, the devil will have a foothold of your heart. I'll share this story before I round up. There was a man that bought a building. I read this in one book sometimes ago, many years ago. There was a man that bought a building and he wanted to sell that building. He needed money desperately. You know, this kind of money you just need to solve a problem and maybe the money will double and you have that double and you can go and you can be richer. So he needed that money, so he sold that building. But what he did, there was an iron that protruded from one part of the building just by the door. An iron protruded. So he didn't sell that part. He said, look, I sell every part of this building, but you see this part is for me. So what he did, when the new owner bought the building, he came back maybe a few months later to rebuy the building from the new owner. And the guy said, no, I can't sell this building. It's sophisticated. It's just my dream home. I love it, blah, blah, blah. So what the former owner did was to go on the roadside, and any dead carcass or dog he sees on the street, he will go and hang it to that his legal portion of that building. So he kept doing that. That new owner could not entertain his guests, well, meaningful guests, rich men. He could not entertain them because of that stench from the beginning of that, from the entrance of the house. Until he was forced to sell that building back to the real owner. That's how the devil is. He comes gradually and he fills your heart with things that by the time he gets full hold of you, you will not be able to run away. Revelation chapter 3. Can we see 19 and 20? Revelation 3, 19 and 20. Revelation 3, let's just read through. 19. Okay, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Let me just break it. He said, to whom I love, those I love are the people I will rebuke, and I will correct them. To be zealous, therefore, and repent. To be zealous, therefore, and repent. You are not hot, you are not cold, you are lukewarm, you are in the middle, you are still, you are stagnant. But as if I love you, I will chasten you to be zealous and what, repent. Let me see the next verse. The next verse, 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You know one thing about Jesus? Whenever he scolds us, he still opens up his hand wide and say, come back home. Just like the prodigal son. If you bid me to come, I will come. Choir, please help me. Where you are. Choir, help me, please. Is where I want. If you bid me.
If you bid me to come, I will come where you are. Where you are.
There must be a bidding by you. You must get up like the prodigal son and say, I am going back to my father.
If you bid me to come.
If you bid me to come, I will come
where you are. I will come.
Why don't you start talking to God as you are seated? Why don't you start talking to the Most High God as you are seated?
wanna stop with
hey,
you.
Hey, I wanna stop with you.
Oh,
hey, I wanna stop with you.
Call my name.
Call my name, Bala. Of my life.
I wanna
stop
with you.
I wanna
stop
with you.
I wanna
stop
with you. Lord, come.
That's a prayer. Turn that to a prayer. Call my name.
Lord, call my name. I wanna stop with you.
I wanna stop with you.
I wanna stop with you.
I wanna stop with you. Don't understand. Men ate heavenly food in the days of Elijah. At a point he was weak because of the journey ahead of him is still far. Elijah was already slipping into the path that he was saying, "Are they not? I'm the only person." And God said, "There are other prophets who don't do gra-gra." And what happened? God provided angelic food for him. You need that food at this point of your life now. Because we are all tired. And he said, eat and drink. For what? The journey ahead of you is still far. It's still far. The journey ahead of you is still far. There's a book I read many years ago, Finishing Strong. You see so many people that started well with God, but they ended poorly. They started building altars for their fathers did not build. Some people started, poorly by serving the idols that their father served, and they started throwing down those idols and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. You need that eating with Jesus. That's why most time we come to break communion. It does a lot of things. It revitalizes our mortal bodies. It revives us. Psalm 85 and verse 5 and 6. He said, the psalmist was crying. He said, "Will thou not revive me again, that I may rejoice in thee?" You need a constant revival per second, per second.
Yes.
The revival of my yesterdays is not the same grace and fire I'm running with. He said, "Will thou not revive me again?" Just revive me again. Revive me again. Revive me again, that I may rejoice in thee. Don't pray for your last revival like Samson. Don't misunderstand that prayer point. He said, "Will thou not revive me again, that I may rejoice in thee?" So we need that angel's food. You need to ask Jesus. Invite him to your room this night to sup with you. You might just have a dream and he's already doing things with you. You might just have a dream and Jesus is changing, uprooting, and planting and bulldozing some things that are not supposed to be there in your life.
Yes.
Let's take that song one more time before we pray.
With you.
If you bid me, if you bid me,
come.
That's Jesus asking us.
I will come.
Hey, where you are. Le paka zabra kata balaga dosh. Ele breke de ge 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 de
ge de ge de
You are,
where you are,
is where I want.
Jesus be to
come. I will call. Rekatepele ke prakato sukalaba. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us, Lord. We are weak and miserable. Help us, oh God. Rakasa palakata bayakade. Lord, I want to sup with you. I want to eat with you. I want to